We are talking tonight, we are going to talk about how the Dhamma can enable us to strengthen our IQ, EQ, and AQ. AQ, I learned it from someone. It's adversity quotient. That means in time of difficulty and challenge, how is your ability, your intelligence in handling adversity and difficulty? Actually, it comes under IQ and EQ together also, but we specially highlight it like that. So it doesn't matter. Let's temporarily put it AQ. So, what is IQ? In the Buddha's teaching, we have three kinds of wisdom. Sutta-maya-panya, hearing wisdom, or hearing knowledge. Chintamaya-panya, thinking wisdom, or thinking knowledge. And Bhavanamaya-panya, knowledge by cultivation or direct experience. The precise translation is cultivation, but which means in experience-wise, it means direct experience or insight. So, how it comes under? IQ comes under mostly Chintamaya-panya, thinking wisdom. When I give you one dot and two dot and three dot, then you will know what is the next dot is going to be next here, you know? So the kind of logical, you know, you derive it, the answer from your logic. So this is also a kind of intelligence. A person who have no mentally retarded will have no ability to even to know that. So if you know that, okay, you have this kind of wisdom, or you call it intelligence. So like mathematical intelligence, scientific intelligence, linguistic intelligence, logical intelligence, this come under IQ. This is Chintamaya-panya. Thinking, true thinking wisdom. This, when you learn Dhamma, especially you learn about cause and effect, then you see the cause like that, the cause work in certain pattern, then maybe you, because of that ability, you try to derive what is next. So that kind of wisdom also, you can know what is you have not seen. That is through your thinking power. So this is also one way, one kind of IQ. So this will be helpful when you develop more and more understanding about cause and effect. And then you start to be able to have a kind of very direct sense of cause and effect. Then especially, there are many training, such as Sampajanya training, also the clear comprehension training for clear comprehension. This also is very helpful for IQ. Okay. So this, many people, they try to debate, about the using a lot of reasoning, like the Milinda Panha, the Venerable Nagasena. He used a lot of reasoning and comparison, simile, to quote this and quote that to show something. That's also IQ, intelligence. He has the intelligence to present. Not everyone, even Arahant, some Arahant may not have that ability to present, but he had that ability to present in this way. This is because of his IQ. Okay, this can be developed when you learn Dhamma. Can be there when you study the Sutta, Vinaya, the 10 purposes of the Vinaya, and etc., etc. And you learn how to apply what you know, what you learn, what you hear from a teacher. You learn how to apply in your daily life. Slowly, you start to develop this kind of ability, the reasoning power, Chintamaya-panya. IQ also improve. And when your mind gets clear because of the meditation practice, and the mind become clearer, then the mind tend to respond faster. This also increase the IQ. When you have less mental inertia, less mental hindrances, then the mind become clearer. Because of the clarity, the mind also function better. This also increase the IQ. Okay. So now we talked about EQ. You see, a lot of problems happen not because of IQ, because of EQ. We spoil, we screw up a human relationship. We make a thing from bad to worse because of revenge, because of dissatisfaction, because of just try to prove something. Because of emotion, anger, hatred. Because of this, so many things got screwed up. Bad reaction to things. Because of that, our wisdom cannot function. When the person go get angry, he's like a mad person. Then only after getting out of anger, then suddenly realize, oh, why I made this stupid mistake. So this can be overcome a lot through the practice. When we understand about non-self, we can overcome our ego. Yeah, many ways. When you learn Dharma, you learn to overcome ego, learn to be humble, learn to overcome ego. Then slowly, this kind of all the emotion disruption caused by our sense of self, our illusion of self, our ego, become overcome. So this is the most direct and clearest. And there are many levels to realize non-self through hearing and thinking about it, pondering over it, and until you see directly the non-self. So these are many stages to have a deeper understanding of non-self, from faith to knowing. So this is very important. So if you can develop like that, then the ego element in the mind become less and less. Then the obstacle for our development of our emotional intelligence also get overcome. So the Buddha didn't use the word emotional intelligence, but by his teaching, you achieve it all the same. Okay, this is one. And of course, there are various stages of realizing non-self. Then secondly, a lot of emotional problems happen because we do not understand this thing called three times, past, present, and future. Because we do not understand this meaning of past, present, and future, then people suffer so much emotional problem. So the past, what is past? Past, can we change past? No, you cannot change a past. But some people say they can change a past. They are using a kind of psychological tool to help the patient. Oh, now you go to the past. Okay, you relate with the past. Okay, that thing hinder you, affect your emotions. Okay, now you go and relieve it. Try to change that program. After that, you feel good again, and then the patient get healed. Are they changing the past? Are they going through real time travel? No, not like that. They are not changing the past. They are changing the past effect on the present by psychologically thinking that, oh, I'm changing it. I'm relieving it. I'm the person that I hate so much, I regard so badly. Now I regard the person very well. Go back to the past and regard the person. Oh, I make friends with you. Then after that, you feel good. Oh, no more enemy. Actually, you are changing the effect to the present moment and reprogram it only. So that program will not haunt you into the future. Like that only. But people do not understand, so they think it is like, okay, never mind. But it is not ultimate. The kind of solution is not the ultimate solution. It's not really, it helps some people. But so the past is not, you cannot change the past. Then the future. What is future? Not yet come. Can you see the future? Can. You can see the future. But you can change your future. Future is a projection. People who see the future, like the Buddha, you know, Dipankara Buddha, look at the Hermit Sumedha, oh, four Asankhya Kappas later, you are going to be the next Buddha called Gautama Buddha. Was he looking into the future? Yes. Projection. Future is a projection. There's a lot of projection in this world. The science, when the scientists they send up the rocket, they also use projection. It's just how sure you are of your projection only. How reliable of the projection only. But projection is there all the time. We are projecting that tomorrow the sun will rise from the east, right? Can you project that? Yes. Yes, you can project into the future about your life based on the present program. But if you're not happy, you can change. There are ways to change. Projection. Future can be seen, but not yet happen. Ah, that is very wonderful. What is not yet happened, what hasn't happened, can be seen. Because what you see is a projection. And you can change it. So future can be changed, the projection can be changed, but the present. Present, what is the present? Present is the new causes, is relevant. Present is the relevant things. What? Why is it relevant? Because you can make a change. You can decide what causes to cultivate in the present moment. If you want to change your future, how should you do? You work on the present moment. That is why in the Bhadekarata Gatha, the Buddha said, Atitang nanwagameya napatikan ke anagatang. Yada atitang pahinantang apatanca anagatang. Pacu pananca yo damang tada vipassati. Asang hirang asang kupang tang vidwa manubrohaye. Let go of the past, let go of the future. Don't chase after the future. The past has gone, the future hasn't come. Now every present arising phenomena, pay attention to it strongly, ardently, invincibly. This is the instruction in the Bhadekarata Gatha. And there are three suttas in Majjhima Nikaya explaining about Bhadekarata Gatha. This gatha has been wrongly explained by many people because they don't go to the suttas. If you go to the suttas, three suttas, you will understand. The whole idea is don't grasp any of the past, present, future experience. Work on the relevant one, don't grasp. That is the gist. So future, the past is a lesson for us. History is a lesson. People who don't learn from lesson, don't learn from history, they always repeat the same foolish mistakes again and again. Future is also important. If you don't care about your future, you are not aware that one day you will die. You will get old, get sick, and die. Then some people, they hoard up their wealth so much, they don't use for their benefit, they don't use for other people's benefit, they don't donate, they don't use it for themselves, then they die leaving behind all this wealth which they never know how to use. Then we don't know how to live in the present moment. But if we know our future, we are going to die, then you will know how to use your present moment. That is important. So past and future serve their function to enlighten us, to make us more practical and pragmatic, to live fully in this present moment. That is the function of past and future. But the relevant, workable time is actually only present moment. So if people ask you, which is the best part of your life, what do you answer? Now. Don't say, last time when I got a special birthday present from someone, forget it. That is not the best time. The best time is now. If people ask you, what is your best time? Don't say, in future, only when my country get the Football World Cup. Then I get happy. No, forget it. That's not yet come. That's not relevant. Now is relevant. This is the best time. Forever, now is the best time in our life. Think this way, then your EQ will be higher. Then some people will say, how can now be good? Some people come around and spit on my face, and some people write a bad thing about me and say something bad about me. How can now be good? Yes, this is a good opportunity to turn around. It's a good opportunity to cultivate Kanti Parami, patience Parami. How can it not be good? If because you cannot change. What people want to do to you, you cannot change. But you can change now how you respond to it. This is good time. This is good opportunity. In the worst day in your life, remember, now is still the best time. In the sense, not in the sense of happy or not happy, in the sense of this, now is a chance to make a change. This is the best time. Okay? In this sense, it is the best time. And now, when you practice more and more, Sila, Samadhi, Panya, then the EQ will be better. I cannot finish talking about EQ. I just quote you some example. For example, the EQ from the Brahma Vihara training metta, karuna, mudita, upekkha, loving kindness, compassion, appreciative joy, and equanimity. These will greatly enhance your EQ. Emotion, especially the first three, loving kindness, compassion, and appreciative joy, is a rich emotion. It's love. Three parts of the love. Yeah. One kind of love, you wish people to be good. But if you see the person in misery, you think, oh, better don't touch. This person is bad karma, now ripening, better don't touch. Then your love is not complete. You don't have compassion. Because you're too, so taking care, oh, I want to be so clean, better don't, people don't touch me. Don't influence me badly. Then you lack compassion. Then your love is not complete. And even you have a lot of compassion, but you cannot allow people to surpass you. When people are poor, oh, you help so much. But suddenly this person live a better life than you, more reputed, more respectable, more virtuous, or whatever, more successful. Then you feel bad. Then your appreciative joy. You don't have that kind of, you have jealousy. Then that part of love is not complete. So these are, if you have a rich love, because of a loving kindness, compassion, appreciative joy, your emotion is very rich, emotionally very powerful. So the last one is the upekkha. It's very important. It's a support for the love. It's a solid foundation for the cultivation of loving kindness, compassion, and appreciative joy. This equanimity, upekkha, is founded upon the understanding of natural law or natural reality. There are many basic. One is the sabbesata kammasaka. All beings are the owner of their karma. They own their karma. They have to pay for it, good or bad. They will receive the result of their karma. There's nothing your wishing cannot change that. So with that understanding, even though we wish people to be good, they may not be good because of their karma, we don't suffer. We wish people to be free from suffering. They don't, their bad karma still ripen and they are not free from suffering. We don't suffer. We wish your son, your beloved ones, not losing their wealth, or anybody, you wish they don't lose their wealth or happiness or success. Still they lose it because the good karma finished. So you don't suffer. That kind of ability of not suffer for anything, for people you love, this equanimity is the bedrock, the foundation for your love. A mind that is easily suffer cannot have the power of love. That's a very weak love. Impure love, imperfect love. But if you cannot be hurt, then your power of love is ever flowing. Cannot be pushed back. Ever flowing. The kind of love is ever flowing regardless of what happened. That is EQ. There are a lot more. We have time constraint. We cannot talk enough. You have to discover more yourself. Adversity. It actually is a combine of the IQ and EQ also. This ability, the wisdom to go through, to overcome adversity. You know how? What is the greatest adversity? You know? If you know the greatest adversity, then you know how to solve other adversity. What is the greatest adversity? Yes, death, old age, sickness, death, you know. Yes, the nature of samsara. This is all by itself already stated to us. This is adversity. If you know the Lord Buddha's methodology in overcoming adversity, you can apply that methodology for your other lesser adversity. Very simple. What the Buddha methodology, the Buddha applied to overcome such adversity in samsara? Four Noble Truths. Four Noble Truths. There are many other methods, but the most important method is Four Noble Truths. What are Four Noble Truths? Suffering, original suffering, cessation of suffering, the path, the method leading to the cessation of suffering. Can you see? Two sets of cause and effect. So the Buddhist methodology, two sets of cause and effect. So the cessation is like something like effect. But when we talk about cessation, the three types of cessation, where we focus on one, the Nibbana. Nibbana is not created, it's not conditioned. It's not formed. You cannot say you create Nibbana. It's like the other shore. How can you say you create the other shore? You are taking the boat, the raft, to reach the other shore. But because of this raft, you reach the other shore. So it's like this is the cause, that is the effect. But not in the sense of cause and effect, in the sense of I make a house by using the wood, and then that wood is the cause and that is the effect. Not like that. But in the sense of, because I do this, I achieve that. So in this sense. Don't get wrong. Because usually when we talk about cause and effect, we talk about kind of conditioning. But realizing Nibbana is not conditioning. You progress. You do this because of all the purification, you arrive at that. So something. So it's like two sets of cause and effect. Cause and effect of problem, cause and effect of your goal or ideal. So the Buddha works on these two sets of his methodology. First, bravely recognize the problem. This is very important. Secondly, know that no problem has no reason. Every problem has a reason. Whether you know or you don't know, try to know, try to find out the reason, the causes. Then have confidence and hope that this thing all will be over. It can be achieved. It will cease. There's an overcoming of it. This is hope. And then there's a way to overcome it. Work hard to find a way, to work on the way, work on the causes. So when you face adversity, just work. Just apply the Buddha's methodology. Then surely you will find an answer to overcome your adversity. Then your AQ increase. Instead of crying over spilled milk, crying over what you cannot do, you cannot help, you don't waste a single moment. You work so hard to work on what you can do by applying powerful methodology of the Buddha. Then you will come out of adversity. No adversity is permanent and forever. It will pass. It's just whether if you do it wisely, it passes faster, or you better. If you not, still it will pass. Nothing will stay in these realms of birth and death. So all will be over. But the wise man will face adversity and create wonderful parami, wonderful karma and merits out of it. This we call people with great AQ, adversity quotient. But people who suffer adversity, still adversity will pass, but they create more new causes of suffering during adversity. This is no AQ. So to know whether you have AQ, good AQ or bad AQ, ask yourself, am I getting the best out of adversity or am I getting the worst out of adversity? If you get the best out of adversity, then you have good AQ. Okay? So whether you have good AQ or no good AQ, all adversity will pass. But let us pass our adversity in a beautiful way. There is one more important thing, and the last thing I want to share is the wisdom on dependent origination. This is everything. If you know this, then all the Dhamma become clear to you. Remember this and work hard on this. Dependent origination. That this is too... this is very profound. In simple terms, is when this exists, that exists. When this arises, that arises. When this not exists, that not exists. When this is, that cease. This is in simple terms. Huh? There are many, there are 12 links, 24 conditioning. You can learn. But basically, this: the more you know about dependent origination, the more you will understand about the phenomena of the world, and then all this wisdom, AQ, IQ, EQ, AQ, all will be enhanced. Okay? This you have to learn by doing a lot of samatha and vipassana training. Okay? So when we practice samatha and vipassana and realize this kind of all this nature, reality, natural law, and anicca, dukkha, anatta, impermanent suffering and non-self, then all the necessary qualities to uplift our life, all will come to us. Okay? Yes, you have to practice samatha and vipassana. Samatha because we need to more power of the mind to penetrate ultimate realities to understand natural law. That's why samatha is necessary. Eventually, it is the vipassana that's doing the work. So with that, I wish all of you have a very, very well-cherished human life. Because this human life is very, very difficult to come by. And now you have it. And the Dhamma is very difficult to come to the real, meet the original Buddha's teaching. And you have come to it. Please, I hope you all cherish your opportunity. And may your all your noble wishes be fulfilled and come through. Okay, I hope this is clear to you. We cannot finish talking this topic. It can cover all the Tipitaka actually. But we call it in gist. Okay, let's sharing of merits. Idang me punyang asawakaya wahang hotu. Idang me punyang nibanasa pachayo hotu. Mama punya bagang sabba sattana bajemi te sabbe me samang punya bagang labantu sadu sadu sadu.